Hello, this is Barbara Van Dalen. Thank you for joining me today on Inner Space. Inner Space is a special program that helps us pay attention to our own emotional health and well-being and the health and well-being of those we love. For this episode of Inner Space, we're exploring how we're using technology to address our emotional health and well-being. Can we really find ways to care for our mental health by picking up our smartphones or going online? To find more on the subject, I did a bit of globetrotting to consult with some very talented people in the tech industry who are also passionate about caring for our inner space. First, I sit down in London with the creator of Happy Not Perfect, Poppy Jamie. Then I'm off to Los Angeles, where I meet with tech entrepreneur Tanner Hackett.
With physical illnesses, you can look in the mirror and you can see that there is some sort of deficiency, that you need to do something. Physical therapists go work out. With mental illness, you don't realize this until other people tell you that it's a problem.
And finally, I'm in New York City with Ronnie Frank. While I was in London for Given Hour's Global Summit on Mental Health Culture Change, I met with my brilliant friend, Poppy Jamie. As a daughter of a psychotherapist, Poppy had a direct line to expert advice whenever she was in emotional pain. This experience led her to an ambitious decision as she contemplated how to put what her mom gave to her in an app. The answer is Happy Not Perfect. Poppy and I caught up to discuss her creation and so much more. Today, I'm here talking to one of my dear friends, Poppy Jamie. Hi, Poppy.
Hi, Barbara.
Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having me. This is incredible.
Thank you. We're very excited and thrilled to talk with you about all the good work that you're doing around culture change. But before we get to that, I'd love to talk to you about how it was that you came to be even interested in trying to break through these barriers and trying to reach people, especially young people, around these kinds of issues. How did that even happen?
It pretty much began as soon as I came into this world because my mother is a psychotherapist.
Yes. I have two daughters, so you guys will need to like,
we need
share
to
notes.
Meet and yes. share notes, yes. exactly. Parents that are psychotherapists.
Yes.
And so we had this upbringing where my mom very much encouraged us to look after our mind. Mm. You know, she would say when we woke up, you brush your teeth, wash your face. Now, what are you going to do for the mind?
Huh.
Walk outside. My father was meditating, for the past 25 years when meditation seemed really woo-woo and out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they really saw the importance of resting the mind. I think probably, my father being an entrepreneur and suffering from severe stress and anxiety, we were also very aware of kind of the effect of emotions on a human being, but also the effect of someone struggling on their community around them.
Did you, when you mentioned that, and you've been very open and talked about that, about growing up, and that was really a part of your awareness that your dad did have these struggles. How did your parents help you, and how did they talk about that with you?
They are pretty amazing people because they are very open. We all are able to talk about our emotions, but also with the caveat of what are we doing about them?
Mm.
And so that's how I think it was less scary, because I think, mental health, when you talk about mental well-being, because we can't see it, people suddenly become fearful and as a consequence don't want to talk about it. They try and suppress their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something we're struggling with globally, the feeling that people can't talk and speak out.
Mm.
So when they
talked about themselves, how they were doing, so modeled for you.
Mm.
And I'm sure that as a young person growing up, you had your own emotional pain, struggles, suffering. What did they do and was
how did they guide us through?
Yes.
And I think that was really the reason why I then wanted to create the tool that I have done. Because, I think father like daughter, I also am, pretty vulnerable to feeling very stressed and anxious. And I think, talking about young people and their mental well-being currently, as the American Psychological Association has reported millennials to be the most stressed out generation that's ever lived.
Yes.
And that even rose last year again by another 5%. So I moved countries at the age of 23. I moved to America. I was a television host. and hosting a TV show.
That's pretty stressful.
It was, yeah. I mean, moving, you know, totally moving countries, having no support network. And then on top of that, having a TV show and the responsibility of that, I would often call home, you know, most days and say, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. Mm. And my mother would immediately almost give me mini therapy sessions. Mm. Calm down, Poppy, let's take a breath, mm-hmm. let's process how you're feeling, mm-hmm. why do you think that is? Mm-hmm. And then lead me to potentially a new perspective. Well, aren't you pleased that that happened? Mm-hmm. And, you know, really teaching me that skill of reframing a situation. Mm. And in that moment, I suddenly thought, what do people do if they don't have a mom?
Your mom.
Yeah. I really thought that. It was, you know, I remember in the middle of the night, it was 3 a.m. And I suddenly thought, what do people do in this scenario that haven't been taught how to calm their anxiety, calm their stress to get back to sleep? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I thought, well, how do I put my mom in a nap? How do I give her to the world?
Wow.
Because she has been such a life savior to me.
What a huge compliment to your mom. She must be so touched by that. That's so
cool.
I think
she thinks I'm slightly mad.
But clearly, you're trying to bring that anchor, that emotional anchor, and that, and almost in a way, an emotional compass.
Yes.
Into an app and
that's
create
accessible.
What you were able to tap into when you needed to.
Absolutely. And that really is the whole point of Happy Not Perfect, this portal that you can go to, no matter how you're feeling, no matter what time of the day it is, and helps you process our, you know, 40 to 60,000 thoughts we have a day.
Yes.
And that's where I was so shocked that it didn't exist before Happy Not Perfect, because, you know, being a human being means you have mental health.
Yes.
And
good, bad, or otherwise,
yeah.
Right? Yes.
And that means we need to look after our mental health, but with what tools do we have to do that? And, you know, before Happy Not Perfect, I looked at what was out there and it was just very expensive therapy. And people, you know, and the more and more I spoke to people, they felt, oh, I've got to be at rock bottom before I can tap into that resource.
Yes.
And why do we need to be at rock bottom to start looking after something we all have?
Why do you think it is that your generation is experiencing stress at a higher rate, a higher degree, higher intensity? Do you think, first of all, do you think that's accurate? Mm-hmm. Or is it that we report it now differently, better? Because that's always the case, you know, we draw attention to something, and now is it actually there's more, or we're just capturing more? Maybe it's some of both. But what do you think about your generation?
So many factors, I think, play into the fact that millennials are being reported to be the most stressed out generation. I do think there is a large, you know, a significant kind of point to say that it is reported more. Mm-hmm. But also, we know emotions are contagious. Mm. So now that we spend so much of our time on social media and we are seeing other people's messages and we're reading all these stories about people being, you know, suffering from anxiety, stress, and, you know, and the rest, I think it's easy for us to misdiagnose ourselves because, you know, Dr. Google is playing a large part in us Googling symptoms, and suddenly, you know, we label ourselves as maybe having a more significant mental, you know, health challenge than we would have otherwise.
Or it's the other, and it's the other side, right? You see, I see this with young people. You know, they're looking at the stories of all their friends going, look at their perfect life. Look at how beautiful all the, you know, and even though they know, wait a second, they're only taking pictures of their own, they're posing, they're making it look, because they know that.
Yeah.
It gets in their head, doesn't it?
100%. I mean, study after study has shown those that spend more time on social media are experiencing lower self-esteem, feeling more insecure. And this idea that our, you know, 15 years ago, this whole idea of the digital identity didn't really exist. Mm. And now we have to manage our digital identity, which often is more important than our physical one, because it's, oh, tell me about that person. Mm-hmm. And immediately within 10 seconds, someone is Instagramming them or going online. So that pressure of, you know, thinking that we have to be so impressive the entire time in order just to keep up. And I feel that that was something that resonated, hence with the name Happy Not Perfect, being like, this idea of perfection is such an illusion, but yet we're all buying into it.
Yes.
And, you know, yes, we look, and I ask a lot of people, I say, what's your morning routine? And most people will say, within the first half an hour of waking up, they will be on social media. And if we think about the psychological effect of that, every single day for now over 10 years, all we're doing is looking at other people's lives.
Yes.
And as we know, comparison is the thief of all joy.
So you created this app, Happy Not Perfect, which is a great name.
Thank you.
And tell me a little bit about sort of your vision in the beginning and how it's evolved and where you hope it will go.
So in the beginning, I tracked down a neuroscientist, a man called Alex Korb at UCLA. And I was super.
I have this vision of you stalking all the neuroscientists.
I really did. I got online and I was tweeting him. I found him. Who knew neuroscientists like to hang out on Twitter?
Very good. Good to know, right?
Good to know, in case you're wondering. And I was really inspired by his book. It was called An Upward Spiral, Using Neuroscience to Reverse the Course of Depression One Step at a Time. I thought it was so interesting the way that he simplified it, just one step, every single day, just one step.
Mm.
You know, and this idea of kind of totally changing your mood to feeling low to next day, I have to be happy.
Mm.
It's so overwhelming. And as a consequence, people then just ignore and shut off and say, no, I can't do that.
Mm.
But this idea of just taking that one step and how that could help you, I thought was so brilliant and so accessible. And so anyway, I tracked down him and he was so brilliant and just being so sharing and really started to educate me around, you know, these small practices very backed up by positive psychology, the research studies, you know, into breathing, gratitude, processing thoughts through journaling. You know, if you really want to try and help people, you've got to meet them where they're at. And that would be to try and take this amazing information and put it and gamify it. Imagine if we gamified it, made it super practical.
100 years ago, it was like something like 7% of Americans brushed their teeth. And it wasn't until this company, Pepsodent, came out and started connecting brushing your teeth, dental hygiene, with being attractive. It wasn't about save your teeth so they don't rot out of your head. It was if you brush your teeth, you will be more attractive. Turn the whole thing on its head. People started brushing. Now everybody brushes their teeth every day, not because we care about our teeth falling out, but because we want to make sure we're attractive, right?
Aesthetically pleasing.
There you go.
And that's funny enough. So much of our messaging with Happy Not Perfect is, you brush your teeth every day, so why wouldn't you look after your mind?
Yes.
And this also, and it's interesting because we're finding that we have a very kind of strong population of men on the app.
That's good.
Brilliant, because I think it allows them to kind of give you a summary of what the app does. We took the most significant kind of exercises backed up by positive psychology and we turned it into a workout. Because I thought, you know, 50 years ago, we didn't turn up to the physical gym.
Right.
But now, having a gym membership, looking after your body, doing sit-ups.
It's all, sort of built in.
Yeah,
it's what we
normal.
Do.
It's what we do. So how do we do that for mental health?
Mm.
This idea that you go to the mind gym, you do 7 exercises, bish, bash, bosh, under 5 minutes, and I'm out.
And I assume the app tracks everything and gives you feedback, how great you're doing, reinforcement.
7 steps.
Good.
You, first of all, you choose how do you feel, starting to, again,
educate,
and also that awareness of how do I feel? And
tune into it.
It's amazing how people never ask themselves just actually truly how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And from deciding how they feel, the app takes them in a totally different route. Mm. So it's all tailored to your mood.
How many countries now have access to Happy Not Perfect? Where are we
now?
So
it's now global, live on Android and iOS.
Oh, so exciting.
It's so exciting. And it's in English at the moment, but we're going to be localizing it into different languages. And we're finding that, obviously, it's our biggest user base is 18 to 30.
Okay.
We're really focused right now in trying to change the conversation around daily care.
Mm-hmm.
Because without daily care, often, you know, mild anxiety can lead to more severe anxiety, can lead to depression.
Yes.
So what can we be doing every single day to keep us in touch with ourselves, because it's amazing when you get busy that you totally forget basic self-care rituals.
Yes.
And they are so important, like the power of sleep.
And it's actually, as you know, one of the signs of emotional suffering, right? If you stop taking care of yourself, it is a sign that you're suffering, that you're hurting. And so you're creating really this wonderful opportunity for people to remind themselves, track themselves, learn new skills, learn new language. It's an amazing thing that you've created.
Oh, thank you.
So for some of our older listeners who may not know how to find the app, let's make sure, because they may want to check it out.
We have 87-year-olds on the app. It's honestly, we had the sweetest message from an 87-year-old lady who said, thank you for creating Happy Not Perfect. I'm finding it brilliant. Oh. And I just thought that is so sweet.
That's so sweet. So where do they find it, either for themselves or for their kids or grandkids?
Yeah.
Husbands, wives?
On the iOS and the App Store or on Google Play. Okay. So it should be there. Just type in Happy Not Perfect. It's free to download. It's free to use the Refresh, which is the full mind workout. And then it's the subscription for the meditation.
The other things that you might choose. Well, I think it's brilliant. I think you're wonderful. Thank you for everything you're doing. And I look forward to us doing a lot of good things together.
Oh, me too. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Poppy.
I'm looking forward to following all that Poppy does in this space and beyond. I have no doubt that we will continue to benefit from her passion and her creative efforts. She's helping us bring emotional health and well-being to everyone. I met Tanner at an event that I did in New York City, focused on the use of technology to deliver mental health care. I was immediately impressed with his compassion, his curiosity, and his willingness to do more than just talk about the challenges we face. We sat down in Los Angeles to discuss his work, his family's challenge, and his hope for the future.
I was on a panel, and you heard me speak. What was it about what I said that made you interested in talking to me? Because you came up to me and we had a great conversation.
Yeah, I didn't just come up to you. I wouldn't let you go. I've had my own encounters with mental health. Unfortunately, there's somebody in my family, my younger brother, who's suffering from some severe mental illnesses. So it was an opportunity to go learn about all the good work that people are doing. I didn't know what to think of it. My experiences have been limited to trying to navigate the healthcare system, understand what policies are in place to support people with severe mental illness. But I come from a technology background, so this was an interesting opportunity to get exposed to, you know, what are some of the solutions that are being proposed now that we have technology available to us. When I saw you present, it was really interesting to see this blending of you who have 40 years of experience in the space and speaking as an advocate for this new technology service and partnering, bringing your legion of therapists that have heard your calling and trying to figure out, okay, how can we use this new platform to get our message out there? Mm-hmm. And so it was the first time that I really made this connection between, okay, there's nonprofits that have been successful in beating the drum, there's technology that we can leverage as a platform, and you seem to be a great advocate for that type of partnership.
Well, so I am so touched by the compliment. Thank you. In part because I'm like the least technologically savvy person on the planet. But I want to back up a little bit. The other thing that was happening when we met, you had either just run the marathon or were just getting ready to run. I'm trying to remember.
I was psyching myself up for the marathon.
You were getting to, yes. So Tanner ran the New York City Marathon.
Yes.
Now that's a huge accomplishment for somebody who's a marathoner. Tanner, how many marathons have you run?
That was my first.
That was your first. I was like blown away, and you ran it because of your brother, didn't you? I mean, it is because of, in recognition of, in honor of, and because of wanting to do something.
Yeah, it's one of those things that anybody that has faced these circumstances, there's this feeling of helplessness. I have the great fortune of having an amazing family, my mom and dad, caring for my younger brother and my older brother really stepping up. I mean, I was on the East Coast and they're based here in California. And so, I mean, the love and caring that they've shown my brother here has been incredible. And you know, me being on the East Coast, there isn't that much I can do. And so I got involved with a few nonprofits out there, NAMI on the East Coast. And I don't really run, but I needed to do something. And so this was the opportunity for me to do something. And it actually turned out to be one of the most rewarding experiences of my life.
How old were you and how old was your brother when it was clear to the family that something was happening?
Yeah. So you have to bear with me. This is not something I'm getting more comfortable speaking about.
Are you okay to talk about it a little today?
I'm happy to. It's actually, that was one of the big benefits of running this marathon. You're forced to speak about it because you're raising money.
Got to say why, right?
Yeah, you have to tell people why this is important to you. And so with my younger brother, it was really... You know, there's quirks that show up, and I was in late teens, and then you really start to realize that it's not normal behavior in early 20s.
And how much younger is he than you?
Two years.
Okay, so you were also in your early 20s when this is all happening.
Yeah, and for me, it's hard for me to appreciate the circumstances. We're 2 years apart, but three grades, and so... really different circles as well. And so I'm hearing about it secondhand about what's going on. As we started to really dig into the matters, it became more and more evident that this normal behavior is materializing into something that we need to seek professional help with. And unfortunately, you know, given the system that we're operating in today, it's really a matter of free will. And it's tough to convince somebody with a mental illness that they actually need to seek counsel. They need to seek help. I like to use the analogy with physical illnesses. You can look in the mirror and you can see that there is some sort of deficiency, that you need to do something. You need to work with physical therapists, go work out. With mental illness, you don't realize this until other people tell you that it's a problem, but also you just reflect that back on them. So it's a huge challenge.
As you know, my mom was schizophrenic and suffered terribly and spent time homeless, and I lost track of her for 40 years. And so I too have experienced what it's like when, as you said, you mentioned that, and I just want to pause there because I think that's really important. Our nation went through this struggle to try to figure out what do we do with people who are severely disabled by mental illness. In the past, decades ago, we institutionalized people, and they would maybe spend the rest of their lives living in an institution, not getting a whole lot of care. And so there was this deinstitutionalization movement, which sounded great, except for we had nowhere really for those people to go. And so today you mentioned, you know, this issue that is meant to protect people from being wrongly incarcerated or left in institutions, but it has a downside, doesn't it? Because sometimes people really can't make judgments in their best interest, and that's really hard on the individual and horrible for families, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. Frankly, I don't have an answer. Part of the and what we met about last night, talking about openminded.org.
Tanser's new effort that he hosted this wonderful gathering of about 15, 16 of us all sort of coming from different places into this mental health space to talk about finding solutions.
Exactly. And there's a lot of incredible people that are fighting battles to try and advance what is our understanding even of what is mental health. Because before we can put policies into place, we need to really understand what we're dealing with. It's prevalent. I just got off a phone call with somebody that has dealt with this. And, you know, you ask any one of your friends, they have a family member, they have a relative, they have a close friend that is dealing with these circumstances. but we're just not talking about it.
Did that surprise you? So last night at this dinner, one of the things that was so powerful you brought together, it was like 16 of us or so, every person around the table. I'm not talking just like, you know, a random little blip here or there, but these were very powerful stories of whether it was addiction or eating disorder or abuse or trauma or depression or anxiety or bipolar, all the way around the room of these people who clearly are walking, functioning, many of them very successful, and yet this is in their lives somewhere. Did it surprise you when you started to find it as prevalent as it is?
That was... I was just floored in this call to action from the marathon. As I was going out and telling my message or sharing my experiences, hearing the responses from people, I had no idea that they were dealing with these circumstances, whether this was an uncle, a parent, a brother, even themselves. Mm-hmm. The challenges that they're dealing with that we have no idea, mm-hmm. but they are on a day-to-day basis struggling and don't know where to go, what to do. And so that really invigorated this spirit of, okay, there's got to be something else we can do. And openminded.org, I started because I don't know what to do. But there's a lot of smart people such as yourself that are out there. You have an incredible audience, people that are supporting you, that are rallying to your cause, and I'm interested in supporting people like you and figuring out how I can help connect you with other entrepreneurs, how we can collectively move the needle on this topic, because I truly believe this is one of the most important issues that we will face in the 21st century.
You so well said. I agree, and thank you, because I think what you're creating will lead to good things. It will lead to synergies and opportunities and expansion in different directions. You know, I think about this work like a patchwork quilt. That's sort of in my head. And I feel like, you know, some of the squares are pretty well filled in. You know, we're making progress. I don't think any of them are completely filled in, frankly, but we're making progress. And some of them, nothing's been done.
Yeah.
I was at an event in the last 6-8 months that was a World Bank IMF event. And the topic was mental health. And I was like, far out, this is great. And one of the speakers said, and it has really, in a way, it's inspired me. It sort of sounds like it might have been demoralizing, but it didn't. And the comment was, when it comes to mental health, there are no developed nations. I was like, wow. Wow. I mean, we think, in America, we think that we're doing such a great job. And I know every single day, because of what I see, the work I do, people I talk to. So to hear that validated, we are light years from where we need to be, but what we're seeing is now amazing people like yourself going, hey, what can I do? How can I plug in? So a separate sort of related question, and then I want to get back to, I want you to talk to us about your perspective on businesses and because that's your world, that's where you come from, startups and tech. But before that, back to the personal for a moment. You said here, which is, I feel very honored that you're on the show talking about your own experience. It's not always easy to do, obviously. People don't do it typically. Has it been helpful to you? And do you believe it is part of, and is it an important part of our message, that this sharing with each other, whether we have a solution to hand somebody or not, is that a value in and of itself from your experience?
Yeah. I think this actually ties back to what you mentioned about no developed nations. And sharing for me, it's about community. Mm. And community provides purpose.
Yes.
It provides meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I just spent the last 2 weeks traveling through the Middle East, looking at a lot of our ancient civilizations and understanding, okay, how did they work? How did they function? How did they survive? Where do we come from?
Mm-hmm.
And purpose and meaning is found in so many different ways. There's so many derivations of purpose. You can find it in your family unit. Mm-hmm. You can find it in your local community, your neighbors. Mm-hmm. You can find it in religion.
Faith-based. Yeah.
You can find it in the work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then you look at, and this has always existed. This is throughout humanity. We've searched for purpose. And today you look at a lot of these things and it doesn't look the same as it used to. Mm-hmm. I don't know who my neighbors are. And granted, I just moved here, but even back in New York, I had no idea who lived around me. Religion is not at the top of everybody's minds as much as it was in the past. Mm-hmm. This was the cornerstone of society in
Absolutely.
The past. Our family units were living further away. We're becoming more remote from our families. Not that we're not connected anymore, but in much different ways.
Right.
It wasn't.
You don't go next door.
You still live with your parents. Everybody still lives with their parents back in Europe.
Right.
And then business has changed very rapidly. People don't have the long tenures at work anymore. We're still the same humans. But this world around us is changing, and consequently, we're looking at mental health as a really important subject matter today that I think we need to address, we need to talk about. And to your original question,
yes,
the reason I think that we need to have those conversations. We need to share what is the source of my angst. Why am I not being able to deal with this new world that's revolving around me, because change is inevitable. Mm-hmm. And unless we do this collectively, we're going to suffer.
Well, and you make a beautiful argument, which I'd love for you to share before we say goodbye today, about the role of companies in the mental health space. Your perspective, I think, is very important and refreshing. So share a little bit about how you think about that.
Yeah, I think this goes back to what I was saying about where people find meaning and where people find fulfillment. And given this vacuum that we're facing today of not having your family, faith, community in the forms that we have in the past, we still have business. Business will persist. And I think there's a major opportunity for businesses, which, there's an interesting dynamic between employees and their employers, but I think this can change. I think that business can be a source of good in communities. It can be a source of good for individuals by being a means for people to grow and find value. And this all starts with culture. And so I've seen good cultures, I've seen bad cultures. They really do have a difference on both your psyche at work and outside of work.
And your productivity. Right?
And that's the thing. This is good business practice.
Good business. And I'm thrilled that people like you are making it your own personal mission to explore, to encourage, to speak. And I'm delighted that you're working with me. So thank you.
Yeah, it's been incredible. It's about education right now. You've laid the groundwork for us to have these deeper, more meaningful conversations. It's really exciting what you're doing, and I hope that I can continue to support you in a variety of different ways.
Well, you already are, and I will not ask you to run a marathon. But thank you for coming by, and I know that I will ask you to come by again, and we'll talk further as you learn more and as you start to see opportunities, because we will use this series to gently, sometimes, maybe sometimes more than gently, nudge companies, leaders to listen and to become part of this conversation. So thank you for coming by.
I love it. Great to be here.
Thank you.
I want to thank Tanner for sharing his journey with us. He wasn't looking to become a mental health advocate, but after seeing the limited treatment options available to someone with severe mental illness, he jumped in. First, by running the New York City Marathon to raise awareness, and then by building an online effort to bring individuals and groups together who are working to create change. I look forward to seeing what we can build together as we combine our efforts. My next guest's life also started in the technology sector, and like Tanner, a family mental health challenge led her to decide to change careers, and now she is changing lives.
I'm in New York City today on this Very interesting day, Ronnie, isn't it? It's interesting, kind of a stormy but very beautiful view of the city. Here today with Ronnie Frank, co-founder of Talkspace. Thank you for braving the elements and taking the time to be with me today to talk about inner space.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, and the work that we share. So we'll talk about Talkspace quite a lot, but first let's start with telling our listeners, our viewers, a little bit about you. You live now here in New York City, but this isn't where you were born. So tell us how you came to be here, and then we'll talk about the work you do.
So I was born in Israel. A little bit about my background. I graduated with a degree in computer science, and I worked as a software developer at Amdocs. Amdocs is a Fortune 500 company, focuses on billing and CRM tools. I was in the IT department. Mm. So I was in the high-tech world, you know, very comfortable world. And now the question is how I ended up founding a mental health company, right? Because
and you did that. You did the IT work, the tech work in Israel, here in the U.S.
In Israel.
Okay.
So, in order to explain how I moved to build a mental health company, I need to share, you know, my personal story. It all started when my husband, who is also my co-founder, yes. Oren Frank. So when my husband and I experienced a crisis in our relationship, our marriage was falling apart, and we decided to give it last chance in couple therapy. Mm. I mean, this time there was no online therapy, no digital therapy. It was only face-to-face therapy. So, you know, we went once a week for 90 minutes, paid a lot of money, but it literally saved our marriage. Mm. And, you know, I felt that this experience was so valuable for me. I really felt that it changed my life in many ways, that I decided to continue to individual therapy. And over time, I realized that that's my passion. This is what I'm passionate about. This is what I care about. This is what I want to do with my life.
And how long ago was that about?
A year, more than a year. I would say 18 months. And with the help of my therapist, I was able to kind of articulate and recognize the fact that I want to leave my career as a software developer. I want to leave the high-tech world because it was not an easy decision. It's a well-paid job and it's considered like a very, you know, sexy industry. And I learned like 3 years, you know, I graduated in computer science and it was difficult. So it was not easy for me to kind of let it go.
Oh,
but I knew for 100% it's not my passion. Mm-hmm. And I knew that there is something I'm really missing and that I'm not happy. And the therapist really helped me to process it and to make this decision to leave my career in order to pursue my passion. And I went all the way back to school to study psychology. That was still in Israel. Mm-hmm. So I'm studying psychology in Israel.
Let me just interrupt so I get the, This is fascinating. And again, you know, I think what's so interesting for our listeners and our viewers to understand is that you were on this quest to really build a healthy inner space for yourself, right?
Exactly.
And so this all was happening in Israel.
Yeah.
You and Oren were there together.
Yes.
And was he in the IT universe as well, or did he have another career?
He's coming from advertising.
Okay.
Advertising, digital marketing.
And did he know?
Not mental health.
Did he know as this was going on within you, this interest in leaving that career?
Yes.
What was his reaction?
It was very supportive, actually. And I was lucky that he was someone that really thinks that you should do something you're passionate about. And it relates to his story later on that maybe we have time I'll share with you. Because it's all related to the founding story of Talkspace. So, we are in Israel. I'm studying psychology and I just had a baby, my first baby, Mia, who is now 13. Mm-hmm. I'm going to school, you know, and in school, like I'm studying with like 20-year-old girls that just came from, you know, back from India or Thailand or, you know, and so it's like a little bit weird. But, you know, I feel like this is what I want to do. And that's my passion. And I'm determined that this is, you know, that I should do that. And by coincidence, at that time, Oren was offered a job, you know, something that it's very hard to kind of say no, because it was, you know, a great opportunity for him mm-hmm. and for his career. Anyway, we decided to do it, like to be brave and to do it, because like it's a kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity. Mm-hmm. So we're moving to New York. I'm starting my master's degree in New York. And this is the first time that basically I realized that the mental health system in America is broken, because, you know, I'm starting to be more and more aware of all those research studies that show that 1 in 5 Americans suffer from a mental health issue each year. Mm-hmm. And that's roughly 50 million people. We're talking only about America.
Right.
Of course, it applies to all over the world.
But
let's talk about America. And I'm learning that 70% of those people who were diagnosed with mental health issue have no access to treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this gap really caught my attention, and I just felt that I want to be part of the solution.
Mm.
And many people ask me, like, where this is coming from. It's hard to explain this passion, but I felt an urge to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 2 years into my master's. And I'm, you know, sharing with Oren this idea. Listen, I want to build a company for online therapy to kind of open access to mental health care, and to make, you know, we call it, you know, therapy for all,
yes.
to make therapy accessible and
yes.
affordable for all. That was the mission.
Mm.
And Oren feel like it's a great idea, also because his personal experience with therapy, you know, we both have been in couple therapy, so he also really appreciates the profession, and he really understood the need, the gap.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you know, Oren started feeling that he also not happy in his job.
Mm-hmm.
And he both, in a way, both of us wanted to do something meaningful.
So this was a shared mission that the two of you now had decided to embark on. You moved your young family. You gave up the lifestyle that you could have had you stayed in those two careers. And you started to develop what we now know as Talkspace. So for our listeners, explain what Talkspace is.
So Talkspace is a web and mobile app that connects people directly with licensed therapists via a unique modality called unlimited messaging therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? Unlimited messaging means that you can message your therapist as many messages as you want. There is no limit to how many messages you can post to your therapist. And the therapist is going to respond to you 5 days a week and up to a few times a day. And of course, based on the client's needs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say messaging is not only text, it could be also an audio message. It could be a video message.
Mm-hmm.
You can share photos. So there are a lot of features mm-hmm. that are part of our modality. On top of it, you can also schedule live sessions. So we are offering different plans. We know some of the plans are a combination of messaging plus live sessions.
Mm-hmm.
It could be once a week or once a month. So there are a lot of options. But the idea that I can tell you that the most popular plan is the messaging, because it's so convenient for
right.
people, right?
And it's how a lot of people communicate.
Exactly. This is how people communicate today. Right?
And when you started this, because I know timeline in my head of when telehealth, for those of you listening who don't know what telehealth is, this is when healthcare professionals, mental health care professionals first began using the computer connection. So someone could, it's like Skype,
yeah.
and then it moved into the mobile devices like FaceTime.
Yeah.
But none of that existed back then when Talkspace was developing, or very few.
Yeah.
It was really a baby industry, wasn't it?
And not only telemedicine. So it was all about doctors and mm-hmm. patients. And there was no platform for behavioral health, for mental health. You know, before we started, Oren and I sat and did like a very thorough research of 3 months. And in those 3 months, we sat like all day and night, and we're looking for a platform. Like, we wanted to see if there is a competitor, if someone already, you know, came up with this idea and started building such a platform, and the category was empty.
Mm.
There was nothing there. And, you know, I have my perspective of why, you know, I was, I think a big part of it is stigma. Mm. And because most of the founders are males and not females, they are not attracted to mental health.
Looking at it,
yeah, they feel like it's not a sexy topic,
well,
you know?
And as a mental health professional who, you know, began practicing long before any of these things, I know that in our work, it took a while for our mental health professionals to feel comfortable using these kinds of platforms. Nowadays, 2019, how many counselors are in your system and how many hours, or however you all count, how much service have you delivered?
So far we had over 1 million users on our platform and we have a network of close to 5,000 therapists. Mm-hmm.
And it's very exciting, for those of us who work in areas where we're trying to provide services to at-risk, underserved. One of the things that I want to make sure we do a nice shout out is the partnership that we now have between Talkspace and Given Hour to provide free mental health care to at-risk teens, because teens will definitely be the ones who are comfortable using technology.
Exactly.
And Talkspace has a tradition of donating services. And as my listeners know, I'm the founder of Given Hour. That's how I began my work and my career. And now we get to do this good work together.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. And so thank you for that.
Thank you.
And so your dream of using technology to deliver services more efficiently, more effectively, more cost effectively.
Yeah.
And doing good in the world, you're doing it. It's great. It's very exciting.
Very rewarding. And yeah, I feel very lucky that, you know, I'm working on such a mission.
So let's now shift to talk a little bit about you, because you are doing this. You did go through all these changes and transitions. And you know, because I shared before we started rolling the tape, that one of the things that we really want our listeners to take away. So now, after hearing today, they know that Talkspace exists. If they didn't know before, they know now. They know why it exists. They know how they can use it for themselves, share it with others. That's really important. The other thing we want them to understand, when they hear leaders like you, when they hear people talk about how they built these advances, these developments, you're very busy. Life is challenging for all of us. What do you use? What do you do? How do you take care of yourself?
It's about taking a risk and understand, really understand and accept that it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to feel comfortable. And you're not going to be, you're not going to make transition in an easy way.
Effortless way. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
going to be hard.
It can be work.
Yeah, so I think that for me, once I accepted it, that it's going to be hard and it's fine, I was ready to do it.
And the other thing that's really important that you mentioned that, again, is at the heart and soul of the work you do, is you reached out for help. You knew you wanted to do something different, and it was helpful to you to find somebody who could be part of that process, journey. I hear that as another really important thing that led then to you creating an entire company that makes it possible for people to get help. So
yeah,
thank you for doing that for yourself and for the rest of the world.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Ronnie's story is inspiring. She was honest enough with herself to recognize that she was unhappy and brave enough to take a risk that changed the trajectory of her life, her husband's life, and the countless lives of the people Talkspace helps on a daily basis. Through my work leading Given Hour, I am so excited to partner with her company to reach teens who may not otherwise have access to care. Emotional health and well-being is something we must actively care for in ourselves, something we must nurture and support in those we love. Technology can never be the only tool we use. It can't and won't take the place of a friend's hug when we're hurting, or the kind and loving words from a loved one who is helping us through a difficult time. But technology can be a powerful aid to ensuring that we are practicing, tracking, and reinforcing our healthy habits of emotional well-being. I'm really excited to see what the future holds. As we head into May, I want to remind my listeners that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So please look for ways to support your own mental health and the good work of organizations in your community. I also want to share that coming in June, the Campaign to Change Direction is hosting the first ever A Week to Change Direction. I'm so excited about this opportunity for individuals, organizations, agencies, and communities around the world to join us in the first ever globally coordinated effort to change the culture of mental health. To learn more, visit changedirection.org. Inner Space will be participating as well. Stay tuned for more on that. And as always, thank you for listening. Once again, I want to thank my wonderful team from DCP Entertainment for making this show possible. Y'all can follow me on Twitter at @bvandalen. Please use hashtag innerspace on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And please share your journey with us about emotional well-being.